trust.
In quietness and joy.
When the oceans,
when the oceans rise and thunders roar, see I will soar with you above the storm.
Father, you are king.
And Father, you
chorus. When the oceans rise,
God,
when the oceans rise,
sing when the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will sing with you above the storm. And Father, you
thank you for your mercies and love. When the oceans rise and thunders roll, no matter what comes our way, we know that you are God. Once again, we appreciate you for the privilege to be counted among the living today. We appreciate you that we can gather in your name, both physically and online. We say, let your name be praised in Jesus' name. Father, accept our worship, our praises, our offerings today. Let your spirit come now and lead us in all we will do. Father, our brethren who are connected and who are on their way, let them get here safely, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we jam those hands together for the living God? God bless you. You may be seated. We know it's storming heavily in the city of Lagos today. But you that are here now, you are part of the overcomers. I can see many people here. You did not drive here in your private car. You came here even with public transport, and yet you are here. So you are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. Jam your hands together. You are unstoppable. May the Lord help our brethren who are on their way. May they arrive safely in the name of Jesus. And as this storm is pouring down heavily, that is raining heavily, so will your blessings rain heavily this month of July in Jesus' name. But we are unstoppable. Whether there is a hurricane, whether there is an earthquake, whether there is a tornado, whether there is a storm, we will still gather to worship our Lord Jesus. Is that right? Because we are not of this world. It's not our home. We are just passing through. Don't worry, where we are going to, rain cannot disturb us. Let me get an amen to that. Where we are going to, when we go back to our country, you know we are not citizens of this country. When we get back to our father's land, rain cannot disturb us. God bless you. Our online brethren, God bless you wherever you are. And we hope that the heavy storm in Lagos this morning, it's not affecting you to wherever you are. But we are unstoppable. The Lord bless you. Today we'll be looking at something interesting. I hope you can hear me clearly. If you can hear me, shout hallelujah. Okay. We are looking at something very interesting this morning. IT, please work on our monitor. We don't have a monitor. We can't follow the service, IT. We are looking at something interesting this morning. The evidences of God's seal. You can see it on the screen. Evidences of God's seal. You can see that red item on the screen upon that parchment. That is a seal. Evidences of God's seal. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, the Bible says, we should grieve not the Holy Spirit. Whereby what? Whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. When you speak of a seal, A seal signifies ownership. A seal signifies a finished work. Even in this modern generation, if you go to the market and buy probably a bottle of drugs, you will see a seal there. Even some fruit juices, you see a seal. And they'll tell you that if the seal is tampered with, you should return it, don't take it. So a seal signifies a finished work. A seal signifies ownership. When God says he has sealed you, it means he has brought you unto eternal salvation. When God says he has sealed you, it means that you are eternally his own. Are we together? When God says he has sealed you, it means he has finished his work of salvation upon you. You are already saved. And the seal of God is what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. We just finished our Holy Ghost program. We fasted for 21 days and we ended the last 3 days of the program with a camp. And we saw how the Lord visited many of us. The seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was for that sake that the Lord Jesus went to the cross. The seal, the mark that God owns you, that God has saved you, that concerning salvation, your own case is settled. That seal, that mark, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the living God. But it is very easy, especially in times like this, it is very easy for people to claim they have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. It is very easy for people to say, I belong to Jesus. Jesus has sealed me. Anybody can claim anything. But the Bible gives us an admonition. It says we should prove all things. And we should hold fast to that which is good. So when we talk of God's seal, there are evidences. There are evidences of his seal upon a man, upon a woman. There are things that we show forth to know that, oh, this person indeed has been sealed. Our beloved pastor preached a sermon that if you have not heard, I would advise that you listen to. The title of the sermon is on Salvation by Assumption. What was he trying to say? That many people can claim they are saved and yet they are far from salvation. He preached another sermon that is very, very touchy. He called it Almost a Christian. Many of us assume the title of Christianity. I am a Christian brother, I am a Christian sister. But if we bring it down to the word of God, we will discover that many of us are not yet Christians. We are what? Almost a Christian. Are you almost a Christian? Well, it is not something you answer with your mouth. It is something you check with your heart. It is not a bad thing to be almost a Christian. The point is, realize that you are almost a Christian and ensure that you become a Christian. Somebody shout hallelujah. So why am I saying all this? There are evidences of God's seal. Don't forget that the seal is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So in other words, we are saying there are evidences that we can use to know that somebody has been baptized with the Holy Ghost. One of the evidences is not preaching. Because I might only be exercising an anointing of the Holy Ghost and have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This teaching is timely because many of us had experiences during the 21 days program. So don't just think because you fell under anointing, because you felt a cold breeze, because you had ice block, even because you spoke in tongues, don't think that that is evidence you have been sealed. No. Umba. There are more to God's sealing than falling under anointing. Are we together? We are a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church. Bring your experience to the word of God. In this generation, anything goes in the name of I have received Holy Ghost. I have received Holy Ghost. I have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Anything goes. Somebody will tell you that he saw oil in his hand. I fasted for how many days? Then oil was coming out of my hand. Then that's evidence he has been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Another person will tell you, fire came upon me. I shouted fire. That means I've been sealed by God. No. Let's go to the Bible to know the evidences of God's seal. The number one evidence of God's seal is transformation, life transformation. Somebody shout hallelujah. The number one evidence of God's seal is life transformation. Are we together? The Holy Ghost baptism is given for life transformation. In this place, we always emphasize that there is a difference between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. As far as the east is from the west, so is it also. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is for service. If I'm preaching in the spirit now, I am only exercising an anointing of the Holy Ghost. If I come to prophesy or heal the sick or speak in tongues, I'm only exercising the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is God's seal, is given for life transformation. If we go back to the Bible, look at the first people to receive the Holy Ghost baptism. And see that you can clearly point out a genuine transformation in the lives of the apostles. Before the Holy Ghost came, when they came for the Lord Jesus, the Bible said all of them did what? They forsook him and went. They fled. Is that right? Up to the extent of Apostle Peter denying, after making a boast, that even if all men deny you, me, Peter, I will not deny you. Even if all should forsake you, I, Peter, I will not forsake you. But the Lord Jesus looked at him. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? You might desire not to forsake me, but you don't have the power not to. Then in Luke chapter 22, Luke 22 verse 39, the Lord Jesus made a statement that I love. Luke 22 verse 39. And as he came out, sorry, I don't have a screen, so I'll be bending my head. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Next verse. It's like the people upstairs are cold. Verse 31, Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, let's go to verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But what? I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Now, look at the statement the Lord Jesus made. When thou have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when thou art converted, do what? Strengthen thy brethren. God's purpose in giving us Holy Ghost baptism is to transform us from sinners to saints. Are we together? The purpose of giving us the Holy Ghost baptism is to make us new creatures. Praise the living God. There a man, a woman that said he has been sealed, he has received the Holy Ghost baptism, can look at you and say, the thing I used to do, I do them no more. Can look at you and say, the life I used to live, I'm no longer living. And it is not because I worked up myself into behaving right, but by a power that works in me, I can see that there is a great change in my life. That is the Holy Ghost baptism. Are we together? We are looking at the evidences of God's seal. So number one evidence is life transformation. God cannot seal you and there is no change in you. No. If God has sealed you with the Holy Ghost baptism, there will definitely be a life transformation in you. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says what? If a man be in Christ, is what? He's a new creature. Therefore, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The life transformation we are talking of, it goes further into what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible speaks of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. When you have received the Holy Ghost, you have the power to bring the flesh under. Are we together? So, brothers and sisters, let's stop claiming what we don't have or what we have not received. A brother will be held bound by fornication. I love to use that example. If you say you fornicated once and you say you fell, nobody is above falling. Apostle Paul said, let him that taketh it stand, do what? Take it, lest he falls. But you did your own once. You did your own twice. Three times. Somebody is shaking his head. Four times. Five times. It has become a habit to you. And you say you have been sealed with the Holy Ghost. No, you have not been sealed. Are we together? You have not been sealed. Because an evidence of his sealing is what? Life transformation. You cannot say you are sealed and then you are living the way you used to live before. You can't say you are sealed and you are still held bound by the fashions of this world. You can't say you are sealed and you are walking in iniquity. No. So what you should say is, I'm waiting to receive God's seal. Because the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in Romans 11:29, that what? The gift of God is what? Without repentance. Is that right? So when God gives you a gift, he doesn't take it back, right? Now, this Holy Ghost baptism that we call the seal of God, it is eternal life. It is God's kind of life. When God gives it to you, he can't take it back. God will not give eternal life to somebody that his nature has not changed. Are we together? So, in the process of giving you eternal life, it changes your nature. You must be transformed. Praise the living God. So, why are we saying this? If you pass through this program, or you have been passing through our June camps, and you have been having experiences, and your experience has not provided or produced life transformation, don't be quick to say you have been sealed by God. No. God is more willing to confirm to you that you have received the Holy Ghost than you are willing to confirm from God. Let's stop this thing off. Don't claim it. Let God claim you. Are we together? Are we together? So don't say you fell under anointing, you spoke in tongues, you had an experience. If there is no corresponding life transformation, you have not been sealed by God. Brother Lumde, are you saying it is not God that visited me? No. I'm not saying God didn't visit you. I'm only saying that if your life doesn't change after that visitation, it might not be instantaneous, but from that day, you will notice something new. Something new. Something new. And do you know the thing? It is in the area of your weakness, the sin that you indulge in the most, it is in that sin that you first experience grace. That will be the first evidence that, something has happened to me. You mean I'm seeing a woman, nothing is happening to me? Only God can do this. If you are a drunkard, an alcoholic, evidence of that God's grace, of that God's healing, will be manifested most in that area. Are we together? You will see the beer, you will see the wine. Before, when you see it, there will be a reaction in you. The deep calling to the deep. But now you will see it and you even detest it. That is what causes the joy of salvation. See me, not by my own power, not because I'm thinking there's a poison in this drink. You mean I'm not moved by this thing? Hey, he has given me victory. That is the meaning of salvation. So when you are sealed, life must change. Somebody shout hallelujah. There must be life transformation. Let's not join the bandwagon of Christianity today, who have turned Holy Ghost baptism to mean anything. Speak in tongues, fall under anointing, you want the Holy Ghost, you want. No. The Holy Ghost baptism is not given to fall you down. The purpose is what we are looking at. There must be life transformation. Are we together? Let's move on. Look at Galatians 2:20. It says, if I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it is no longer I that lives, but what? But Christ that liveth in me. That was the testimony of Apostle Paul. Galatians 2:20. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24, see what Apostle Paul said to us. Ephesians 4:24. What does he say? He says, and that ye put on what? Put on what? The what? So when you are sealed, God has made you a new man, a new woman, a new creature. You cannot find pleasure in the things of this world anymore. You cannot rejoice in iniquity. There is a nature in you that detests sin. There is a nature in you that runs from sin. There is a nature in you that cannot find pleasure in sin. If a man be in Christ, is a new creature. It is God that does it inside of you. And I love to say this. Repentance is different from conversion. Many of us have repented, but some of us are not yet converted. Apostle Peter, following the Lord Jesus before the Holy Ghost baptism came, he had repented. But yet Jesus said, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you are sealed, Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 is fulfilled in you. What does it say? It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is what we are talking of. So bring any experience you have. I saw Jesus. He came and he touched me. Wonderful. Bring it back to the word of God. If life transformation doesn't follow, God hasn't sealed you. And when God has not sealed you, you cannot be raptured. You cannot go to heaven. Another evidence of God's seal is chastisement. Chastisement. Number two. Evidence of God's seal. Chastisement. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. What does it say? It says, Hebrews 12, 5 to 11, okay? Ye have not yet resisted, okay? And ye have forgotten the exhortation. Are you following? Read carefully. Which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he doeth what? He chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Now, see verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all children of God are partakers, then are you what? I'm not the one saying it. Then are you what? And not. He goes further. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of the flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, or he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Somebody shout hallelujah. One evidence that God has sealed you is the rod of chastisement. Are we together? The baptism of the Holy Ghost makes you a child of God. Therefore, as natural parents chasten and discipline their children, so does our spiritual father do to us. Are we together? The Bible says in Hebrews 12 verse 8, that if you are without chastisement, you are what? A bastard and not a son. God will not allow sin upon his children. See, two things to know if you are saved. If you are not saved. Two things to know if you are not saved. And you feel you are, if you are enjoying sin in any form, or nothing is happening to you when you are living in that sin, know that you are not saved. Can I come again? Imagine a brother is having an affair. Let's say I'm married and I'm having an affair with a sister. Of course, it will be a sister in the Lord now, Abby. I'm having an affair and I'm enjoying it. I'm not feeling condemned. Or I'm having an affair and nothing is happening to me. God is not chastening me. Forget it, I'm not saved. I'm only like what? Balaam's ass. Are we together? God will never allow sin upon his children. Evidence of love is what? Correction. That's one of the reasons we have so many parental failure in this generation. They love their children too much. They cannot correct or chasten their children. Then the child continues to get worse and worse and worse and worse until the child reaches a level where nothing can correct him anymore. Evidence of love is correction. Whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? He chastens. These are the two reasons why Christians don't sin. Number one, something has happened to your nature. You can't find pleasure in it. Number two, there is a rod waiting for you. And when God descends on you, you will feel it for the rest of your life. That is what we see in the life of David. Let's turn our Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 15. Verse 14 and 15. Saul and David are a type of people who are saved. One is eternally saved, is in a covenant of mercy. The other one is not in a covenant of mercy. 2 Samuel 4. He says, I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Now, see verse 15. Everybody pay attention to this verse 15. He says, but my mercy shall not what? If you read from verse 1, you see that God was entering a covenant to David. This is the sure mercies. The covenant of sure mercies. He says, my mercy will not depart from him. As I did what? Read now, as I did what? Saul was not under a covenant of sure mercy. That was why when Saul sinned, God did not punish him immediately. You didn't get it. Saul sinned. Did God punish him immediately? No. He kept on living as king. He kept on pursuing David. Saul killed how many priests in one day? Because he was looking for David. He committed murder, committed many things. God just folded his hands and was looking at him. God did not do anything. Why? He was not under a covenant of mercy. Does that mean he will not be judged? No, his judgment was passed already. His judgment was passed. But he lived so long, even reigned as king for so long, nothing happened until the time came. But look at David. Let's read that verse 15 again. 2 Samuel 7, 15. He says, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. David was under a covenant of sure mercies, which is a type of what we enter when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God's seal. Now, all of his life, especially after the oil came upon him and the Spirit of God came upon David, David lived a righteous life. But one day, let him that think get his stand, take it, lest he fall. One day, in the day of spiritual low percent, the Bible says, in the time that kings went to war, David rose up in the evening and walked atop the roof of the house, and he saw a very beautiful woman bathing herself, lust of the eye. Then lust of the flesh set in. He fetched her, he laid with her, sent her back to her house. The woman sent David a message. Mr. Man, you're a sharp shooter. I am pregnant already. David said, hey! Prepare to fire. What will I do? David devised means. And what did David do? The end of story. He killed the woman's husband and took the man's wife. The Bible said the thing that David had done did what? Displeased the Lord. Now, under the law, the penalty for the two sins, one, penalty for adultery is what? Death. Two, penalty for murder is what? Death. Then God sent a prophet to David. He came and he started speaking in parables. David was very angry. How will this man do this? Only indignation. The prophet looked at him and said, you are the man. Hey, you did this, you did that. Now, he said something very instructive. He said, the Lord has put away thy sin. Can you see forgiveness? That was where mercy came in. That is why we say, once saved, eternally saved. It is a fact. He said, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. That was what he told him. David was supposed to die under the law of God. In fact, he's supposed to die twice. If they kill him, they should kill him again, because he committed two sins. So that's two counts of murder. But he said, the Lord has put away thy sin, you will not die. But nevertheless, you are in a covenant of sure mercies with God. He said, because you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme by what you did. He said, the sword will never depart from your house. An everlasting punishment came upon David. Brethren, David paid for it. The judgment was passed. Do you know that after the prophet told David, see, God will chasten you for this thing you did. Thank you. Everybody went. The Bible said David prayed for the child. He fasted for 7 days. Nevertheless, the child died. Then David rose up, went to worship God. By this time now, Bathsheba is his legal wife now. He went into her again, and she conceived. And she brought forth Solomon. God even gave Solomon a special name, Jedidiah. He says, beloved of the Lord. So everybody thought, if God can forgive David, now the woman is pregnant again, and the child is a special child. This case is settled. 13 years after, one of David's sons by the name Absalom. Absalom was a fulfillment of prophecy. Woke up one morning and said he will be king instead of his father. Mighty anointed David that brought down Goliath started running like a fugitive from his son. It was what? It was God chastening him. Have you ever imagined why David told those generals in 2 Samuel 18, please, so when you are going to fight, don't kill Absalom. Deal with him gently. Why? David was spiritual to know. It was God that was tearing up Absalom to punish me. What are we bringing out from it? God will never permit sin upon his children. And evidence you are sealed by God will be that when you commit iniquity, a corresponding rod will follow you. This is why we say many people are not sealed. Many of us live in sin and nothing is happening to us. We are not yet sealed. Forget it. Ministers of God will charge money. Ministers of God will misbehave. Christian brothers and sisters will misbehave. Workers in the church will steal church funds. You will fight. You will gossip. You will slander people. And nothing is happening to you. You are not sealed. You are not. Because when God descends on you, when God gives you a slap, A slap of correction. You will know that God too is wicked. God is good. God is good. He's also a consuming fire. Are we together? So an evidence that you are sealed by God is chastisement. There's so much controversy about tithe paying. Hey, I don't pay my tithe and nothing happens to me. Fine. Well, let me know if I enter that one. Let me stay on salvation. Because anything you are, if God is involved in that business with you and you're not paying your tithe, okay, now you will see monkey they walk, bamboo they chop. You see the devourer coming to eat, watch, and gather. Brethren, if God has sealed you, the rod of chastisement is not far from you. You cannot continue misbehaving and think God will just say, my son, my child. I'm not saying, the Bible says the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. He is rising again, but did he tell you what he went through when he fell? Eh? There are things also he will go through, especially when he's the one that is falling by his own carelessness. Revelation 3:19. What does he say? Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. My time is against us. As many as I love, I do what? Can we read it together? As many as I love, I do what? I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Many people will not go to a church because the pastor is hard on what he's saying. Such people are not ready for heaven. God rebukes and God chastens his children. Evidence that God loves. People will say, God punish you, God punish you. Long ago, I caught the revelation that God punish you is a prayer. God punish you if there is a child, is a prayer to you. Because he will punish you because he loves you. If he doesn't love you, he will condemn you. Are we together? So chastisement is an evidence of God's seal. Seal, evidence number 3, spiritual gifts and power. Evidence number 3, spiritual gifts and power. Everyone that has been sealed as a manifestation of the supernatural around them. The gospel we preach is not in words and grammar only. The gospel we preach is supernatural. The experience of being born again is supernatural. So you cannot say that you have been sealed by God and there is no manifestation of the supernatural around you. It is false. Are we together? In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, what does the Bible say? Mark chapter 16, verse 17. It says, these signs will do what? Mark 16, verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. Signs must follow believers. If God has truly made you born again, you have tasted supernatural. Therefore, there must be a supernatural manifestation around you. You might be gifted and you might have power and you are not born again. But you cannot be born again without a gift or power. In as much as we say that the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not the evidence, the gift or the power is not evidence that you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you are baptized with the Holy Ghost genuinely, it will follow. It's a byproduct. We are talking of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7 to 11. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 7 to 11. It says what? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every... Is given to who? Every man that is born again to profit without. He says, but to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all this worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Brother and sister, if you are born again, a spiritual gift must follow. Are we together? Isolating the gift alone as evidence that you are born again is wrong. But we are saying that if truly you have been sealed, you are born again, there must be at least one gift of the Spirit that will follow. And it is not what the Pentecostals have counterfeited, which is speaking in tongues. It's not that one where they tell you to say anything, or they'll tell you you have it, just say anything. No, 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 no. There are 9 gifts that we just counted. Not everybody can speak in tongues. But there are other gifts that must follow a child of God if truly you have been sealed by God. Are we together? It makes me wonder why many so-called end-time message churches and holiness churches, you know, they are too holy. Too holy to the extent that there is no spiritual gift or power in their midst. That is evidence they are not born again. Being born again is more than the long skirts and the suit and tie we wear. If one has been sealed by the Holy Ghost, gifts and power must follow. He said, behold, I give unto you power to do what? To tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So spiritual gifts and power must follow your salvation. Are we together? Now, you might not be like a Pastor Moses. You might not be like a Professor Sunday. You might not be like a Sister Marachi or any of this. You might not be like an Evangelist Chinedu. But even if it's in little form, there is something that will cause you to know that, there is a supernatural around me. Are we together? So, the new birth, being born again, it is a supernatural experience. And when it happens to you, God has plunged you into another dimension of life where supernatural will follow you. So we cannot remove gifts and power from the evidence of salvation. It is part of it. Signs will follow them that believe. He said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift to men. There must be spiritual gift in your life. It is part of the evidence you are sealed. Forget this thing that is only a pastor that have, is a lie. It's not only a pastor. There must be spiritual gift in your life. Oh, if you cannot speak in tongues, you must see vision or be dreaming dreams. You must have word of knowledge. There must be spiritual gift in your life. It is an evidence of God's seal. We cannot remove it. And there must be power. How can you be a Christian? You are running from witches and wizards. Eh? What happened to clapping and praying? And you are running from witches and wizards. We are the ones that are supposed to sing, and walking power is our right. It is an evidence of God's seal. Let's move on. Time is not our part. I need to emphasize it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me read some scriptures to emphasize this point. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. What does it say? Follow after charity. Yes, love. You know, God is love. Perfect. But do what? It's only sisters that are responding. Follow after charity. Yes. But what? No, he says, and do what? Please tell your neighbor, it is not wrong to ask spiritual gifts. Tell the person by your side. Stop this holier than thou. Me, I don't want the gift, though. I don't want the gifts. Not these gifted people. Stop that holier than thou attitude. If they are not spiritual, why not receive the gift and make a difference? You are saying that all those gifted people, all these gifted sisters and gifted brothers, their life is not... You receive the gift and live the right life. Let us see. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Even when further. Spiritual gift and what? But rather that ye may prophesy. He went further. So don't be too holy than God that you are condemning spiritual gifts. It is because you don't have it. Praise the living God. If you have it, you will see the you will see the efficacy. You will see the worth of it. So we must have spiritual gifts. All these churches, bride assembly, they don't know the word. It's only gifts. I pity you. That's why you go to their churches. You see witches. There was one story that pastor said that is so funny to me. He went to a church in Port Harcourt, and they have gifted sisters, just two gifted sisters. Every time, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. Pastor said, they were prophesying, and the Lord opened his eyes. He saw a snake saying, my people, He said, no, God forbid, I'm not your people, snake. after the service, now see a pastor that has power. Hey, see, after the service, in the pastor's office, he sent for those two sisters. And to call the showiest thoughts, he did deliverance on them. That's power. You see witches in people's church. Your deacon is a witch. Your elder in the church is a witch, because in the entire church, there is no gift, no fire, nothing. There is a church in Abuja that used to be a part of, they used to follow us, but now new pastors came. The first thing they did was to kill prayer. Nothing like prayer again. This and that. It's just the word. They've stopped following even the doctrines we stand for. They know God too much that they've thrown outside the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gift must follow you if you are truly sealed by God. And one evidence that you are in a living church, is that church will have the gifts of the Spirit. If there is no gift of the Spirit in that church, you run for your life. The Holy Spirit is not at work. Are we together? Spiritual gift must follow us. It is part of the evidence of God's seal. Seal, evidence number four. There are actually six. So let me be fast. Evidence number four. Evidence of God's seal number four. The Spirit of truth and revelation. The Spirit of truth / revelation. One evidence that you are sealed is that you will have revelation and you will walk in truth. Are we together? Because in John chapter 16 verse 13, part of the works that the Holy Ghost will do, when Jesus was talking to us, he said, "How be it when the Spirit of truth," the Holy Spirit is what? The Spirit of truth. Are we together, brethren? The Holy Spirit is what? Spirit of truth. When he will come, he will do what? Please read with me, church. He will do what? He will guide you into all truth. Can you see it? So you cannot say you have him and you abide in error. This area is a very touchy area, but we'll talk. You cannot be baptized with the Holy Ghost and you will continue in error when truth is shown to you. Did you get me? You cannot say you have been sealed by God, you have received Holy Ghost baptism, and you will continue in error when truth is presented to you. So how do you know that somebody has truly been sealed by God for salvation? Give him what we call the word test. Present truth before him. Daddy Gio and Mommy Gio's and archbishops and archapostles who cannot agree that water baptism is in the name of Jesus, you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's not gainsaying. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You have not been sealed. Okay, let me speak revelatory language. You have not been baptized with the Holy Ghost, but you are very anointed. Abi, they're anointed now. You don't have it. The Holy Ghost will cause you to walk in truth. During the camp, it was so interesting to me. Several sisters will come. They'll tell you that when they had encounter, the Lord told them to remove all this Jezebel attire. Remove attachments. He told me to stop painting. No pastor told them. I heard that testimony. Several people, we were all here together. Several people gave that testimony. I said, and I was just clapping in my eyes. I said, thank God, these are the people that God is dealing with. You can't have the Holy Ghost and walk in error. See, many people have left this church. Now, when we talk like this, some people usually misunderstand us to say that Brother Assembly is a lie. Brother Assembly cannot be the only true church. Even when Elijah thought he was the only one, God said, "Elijah, I have 7,000 other people that you don't know. Around the world, God has his elect. They might not be popular, but they are there." Now, many people have left this church. Some prophets, some sisters. Listen to me. If they left this church after hearing our teaching and they are going to establish what is contrary to the Bible, they did not have the Holy Ghost. Up to now, they don't. Am I not in this church with them? Why am I not leaving? I've been in this church since 2011. It was not when I came to this church they gave me title of pastor. I no be here they sit down. So don't think it's because of title or position. It is because of truth. A sister will leave. What pains me the most is not the people that leave. It is the gullible people among us. Somebody has left Jerusalem. Then he's in Egypt. Then they'll be using prophecy to manipulate you. You go and run and be going to that church. None of them can give me a God cannot use them to speak to me. Why? God will be bringing down his standard. He knows what I believe. A prophet cannot be a pastor. Then he left this church to go and pastor a church. No, if he likes, let him fast for 1,000 days. God cannot use him to speak to me. Because God knows I am against what he's doing. But many of us don't have that heart. Then they'll call you. I saw a vision about you. You will start shaking. Then you will leave a church that is trying to walk in truth. You can't sit under a woman pastor. A prophet has turned to a pastor because he gave you a prophecy. How do you know the prophecy is true? The just shall live by prophecy. Let's stop this nonsense. Let's stop this nonsense that many of us are doing. It shows that we are not growing. We are not growing. Somebody with a prophet outside that is not working in the divine order, we call you and be using prophecy to manipulate you. Well, still on the matter, spirit of truth and revelation is an evidence that you have been sealed by God. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Some of us have not seen this thing in the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27. See it. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now go to verse 27. For you to know that the Holy Ghost is actually a teacher, and it has nothing to do with whether you went to school or not. Please read carefully. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you. What does he do? Teacheth you of all things, and it's no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you are sealed by God, one evidence is that you can never be comfortable with error. Regardless of who the error is coming from. Jeremiah said, his word was in my heart like fire. You can't be comfortable in error when the spirit of truth is in you. Are we together? Once the truth is reflected from the word of God, because you have that spirit that wrote it inside you, there will be a corresponding reaction. This is the truth. I will walk in the truth way. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Ephesians 1 verse 17. It says what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Can you see it? In John chapter 14 verse 26, it says, but the comforter, John 14, 26, but the comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. What will he do? He will teach you all things. So the Holy Ghost gives God's children understanding of God's word. He gives God's children revelation of God's word. He causes the children of God to know the truth and to walk in the truth. So when you are sealed by God, you will have the spirit of truth on you. Please, I cannot break it. Just 5 minutes more. Number five. Evidence number five. Now it will not be palatable. Persecution and trials. This one will not be palatable. But it is part of the evidence that God has sealed you. One of the evidences of our salvation are the persecutions and trials that come our way. We are talking of the sufferings that we suffer for Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 29. Philippians 1 29. It says, unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also what? Nobody is answering me. No. Please read it now. Unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to... Christ assured us that we shall drink of his cup. You can see that in Matthew chapter 20, verse 22 and 23. We shall drink of his cup. And his cup was bitter. There are two cups. There is the cup of blessing that we call the communion. There is also the cup of suffering. As much as you are drinking of the cup of blessing, you must also drink of the cup of suffering. For example, some spiritual attacks that some of us have, some of them is not foundational powers. Some of them is not because you did anything. It is only for the mere fact that you are a Christian. I'm not saying all. Some is curses and covenants. Some you went to the village and you are showing that you're a big man. Then Mazi okay saw you and said, "Hey, no, that one is." I'm talking of some spiritual attacks that we have. It's just because we are Christians, nothing more. In your business places, in your working places, there are some hatred that come your way. Not because you did them anything, just because you are a child of God. That's part of the sufferings. There are some people that men and women will just forsake you and neglect you. You've heard our pastor's testimony when he was on, how everybody was around him. But after God humbled him and converted him through the experience he had, when he came out, everybody deserted him. Everybody was hailing his name, they all deserted him. He said he had to do attachments, Abi, from Abuja to Lagos. Why? All because of what? Christ's sake. There are some jobs that you merit. There are some contracts that you deserve and merit, but they won't give to you because of what? Christ's sake. But number one, when we say Christ's sake, not because you say you are going to church. Because in this generation, in a country like Nigeria, everybody goes to church. We're talking of because of righteousness, because you are a true child of God. They know that your lifestyle is different. In fact, your presence condemns them. So when they see you, that's part of the persecution and suffering we are talking of. Many sisters will not have relationships on time. Because anytime you start to court brother will tell you, "Sister, let us eat before the marriage day, before the wedding day." You say, "Me, child of God." And brother will start threatening you. "If you don't do, I will end this relationship." And they'll tell brother, Satan can go. Yes, he has packed and he has gone. But sister is still there. 35, 40. No brothers come, or they are coming, but they are not godly brothers. It is part of what we suffer for Christ's sake. Are we together? It is part of what we suffer for Christ's sake. In your business place, the natural way to make the money, every Germany product, the label will be removed. Every China product, the label will be removed, and Germany will be written on it. Eh? That's what they do them for here. That is not how it is done in God's kingdom. But you decide to be honest. Number one, everybody in that marketplace, they will gang up against you. It is the truth. They will first gang up against you. Number two, they will do all they can to boycott you. And please, brethren, let's see something. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, in this generation, it is good, feel good gospel. All is well. Ayima's gospel. That's what is popular. There are also some other side, the bitter side of our gospel. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. There's a statement there. See, please just read it carefully so that you'll be comforted. It says, "But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ." Hey, the next statement is my emphasis. "After that ye have what?" There must be sufferings for Christ's sake. But he said, you will suffer for a while. Then he will what? He will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Somebody jam those hands together for the living God. Part of the evidences that you are sealed by God is what you suffer for him. Show me your cross. It is not a pendant. It is a cause of what? Suffering. The songwriter says an emblem of suffering and shame. When God seals you, there must be a cup of suffering for you to drink also. We are not talking of, it's not necessarily poverty or anything. What we are saying is that there must be some trials, some difficulty you will go through for his name's sake. I'm not coming to tell you that once you become a Christian, you become poor. That's evidence you are saved. It's a lie. That's not what we are saying. There will be some things you will go through for Christ's sake. It is part of what he has called us unto. It is part of what he has called us unto. So what does he tell us? He said, let's read that scripture, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. See verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. Let's be fast. He says, if ye be reproached, part of the sufferings is what? Reproaches. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. Men will insult you, abuse you. It is part of the suffering. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Don't go and steal and they cut you. You say, I'm suffering for Christ's sake. It's a lie. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. And please let me say this. Christians, don't be lazy in your walk. And then your boss is descending on you and you say you are suffering for Christ's sake. It's a lie. Be diligent. You are not where you are supposed to. You are not doing what you are supposed to do. You are not where you are supposed to be at the right time. Then your boss dislikes you because of your lousiness in work. Then you are saying, this my boss is persecuting me. That's not persecution. No. That's what Apostle Peter is telling us. He says, yet, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, see verse 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. 1 Peter 3, verse 13 and 14. And who is it that will arm you? If ye be followers of that which is good, 1 Peter 3, verse 13 and 14. Verse 14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, are you seeing it? Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that accepts you, a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse you of good conversation in Christ. Now, verse 17 is my emphasis. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing, than for evil doing. Are we seeing it? Now, see 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. But for what is, for this is thankworthy. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, because you're a Christian. You know, and sinners are wicked. They will intentionally do some things to you. And when you are reacting, they say, Shebi, you say you're a Christian. And he says he's a Christian. And he says he's a Christian. May we not fall into such temptation. But truly, there are times when we have to turn the other cheek and suffer wrong for Christ's sake. You know why? If not, one day Pastor Smart was preaching. He told us about a woman that jammed his car. And he came down and they started speaking English to one another. What happened? As soon as he left there, the Holy Spirit pricked his heart and told him, you didn't do well. In other words, what the Holy Ghost was telling him is, turn the right cheek. Ah! Somebody will eat your car. And then you come down and say, it is well, God bless you. Ah! It's painful, though. In this economy, it's very painful. Let's not lie. Let's not lie. In fact, I pray it never happens to me in Jesus' name. Let's not lie. It's painful. But it is what is expected of us. Because if you try and be making trouble with him, number one, if your church members pass, it's not the person they will look at. The person, pastor. Number two, nobody will say he's at fault. They will see two people exchanging words, quarreling. So you have brought down yourself to the same level. Are you seeing it? So this is part of the sufferings for Christ's sake. It's not easy, but it will help us. But he said something that made the story interesting. He said he prayed, asked the Lord to forgive him. Then another time, can you see what God was doing? He now saw her at the filling station. He rushed down. When the woman saw him coming, she turned all her arsenal against him. I'll give you fire to fire. But this time around, he went as a saint and spoke to her, made peace with her, even apologized upon his right. It made Pastor smile that somebody broke his cow. Don't think he liked it. Lexus for that matter. It's not easy. But you saw what he did. Then, days later, he got to know that the woman and him were neighbors living in the same clothes. Can you see? So we will suffer for Christ's sake. There are times we must turn the other cheek. Now, let's not say it's not possible. God has not called us to live like men. He has called us to be mad. What we should pray for is grace to reach God's standard. Are we together? Suffering is part of an evidence of God's seal. Finally, because of time. Okay, let's quickly read some scripture. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what will happen to them? They will suffer persecution. Take down Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 verse 40 and 41. Let's read it. Acts chapter 5 verse 40 and 41. The apostles, after they beat the apostles, they commanded them that they should not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Verse 41. What did verse 41 say? He says, and they departed from the presence of the council. Doing what? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In this generation. Ah, God. God. Is it not because of you? Why? Why, God? How will I go and do evangelism and I'll face all this? That is what we'll say. But that was not what the apostles did. The apostles counted it joy. Ah! So you never start if they never beat you for Jesus. Hey! May God take us to that level in Jesus' name. Now, the final evidence that I'm bringing forth this morning is what? Evidence number 6. No, not number 5. You repeated number 5. Evidence number 6 is what? Service and ministry. Service and ministry. So everyone that God has sealed, there must be some form of service you are offering unto God. We are, as the popular saying goes, we are saved to serve. It's a very popular saying. We are what? Saved to serve. There should be no dormant, and there is no dormant member of the body of Christ. Once God has truly sealed you, one way or the other, there will be some form of service you are rendering unto God. Now, you might not be called into the leadership office, the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You might not be called into that. But even apart from your spiritual gifts, because for instance, if you have a spiritual gift of word of knowledge, and maybe it's just small, small things that you see, you cannot go and sit down and say you're a prophet. No. So there must be some things that you will do for God. That is why there are departments in the church. God's work must continue. God will not send Angel Michael and Angel Gabriel to preach or to sing or to clean the church. God will not send Angel Michael and Angel Gabriel to do what man should do and can do. God's work must continue. As far as the church is still on earth, the ministry, the work of salvation is still going on. Therefore, there will be room for service. He said, pray ye the Lord of harvest that he may send forth laborers into the harvest. For the what? For the what? The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So you can't say God has sealed you and then you are dormant, it is an evidence God has not sealed you. When I first received the fire, when I came here, nobody told me anything before I rushed into the bus and was preaching. Many of us are waiting to be compelled by God. Go and do this, go and do that. Before Pastor Moses became a pastor, when after his salvation, he established WAPO, West African Prison Outreach, where they were reaching over 90 prisons in West Africa. And he did not refer to himself as an evangelist. That is part of the constraints of salvation. When God has saved you, you will burn for him. Your time, your resources, your talent, all goes to his work. So in this generation, we have many people that claim they are sealed. And you're not seeing any service. Because the service is in gratitude, is in appreciation to God for your salvation. How can you say God has saved you? Or how can you say you are a true child of your father and you have no pleasure in prospering the work of your father? It is an error. Either you are not truly a child or you are an irresponsible child. God has called us to serve. When he has saved you, you must serve. If you cannot preach, you can give tracts. This generation, tract has even stopped. If you cannot give tracts, you can clean the church. You have natural talents and gifts that you know can benefit the church. Why do you keep it to yourself? It's still a mystery I don't understand. How people that are skillful will always wait to receive contracts before they do something that will not cost them anything in the church. Meanwhile, we have people that are just doing their own thing between them and God. All the ACs in the church, we have two brothers. That's our duty. They come and work on them, service them, do them. We don't give them one couple. The horticulturists that try to keep our flowers, we don't give them one couple. But even to clean, some people we desire, please pay me, please pay me. No. Let's go beyond that. And not as if you don't have something doing outside. That's the most painful part. You have your own business and you still want church to be paying you for something you can offer that will not affect your time. That's evidence you have not been sealed. Brethren, our Father's work must continue. He's counting on us to do it. We know that there is the misuse of the gospel today. Pastors behind the pulpit who are milking people of money. But I love to challenge everybody that this church is not so. This is a church founded on the truth. Even the overseer of this church uses his own money to support the work of the ministry. So don't think there's one pastor sitting somewhere that is receiving all the tithe and offering. I say, bring it. If you cannot serve because you are not physically present, let your resources serve for you. There is the sending ministry. It is part of it. So you cannot say God has sealed you and these six evidences will not be reflected in your life. It is a lie. Are we together? You must be transformed. You must be under the rod of chastisement. There must be spiritual gift and power in your life. You must walk in truth and revelation. You must face persecutions and trials. And you must serve. These are the evidences of God's seal. Can we jam our hands together and be on our feet? For any question you can ask tomorrow by 7 a.m. Our time is fast spent. Please, let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet.